Hello again, everyone. This is Lindsay Kenny and Sylvia Becker-Change, Executive Change Strategist. And in case you guys, did I get that right?
You said Becker-Change. I love it. Sylvia Becker-Change. That's perfect.
Anyway, so Sylvia Becker-Hill, Executive Change Strategist, and then some. I forgot to mention the first part. When she was 6 years old, she had already written 3 books. A little prodigy here. Anyway, if you haven't listened to the first part of this program, you really need to listen to it for continuity and then come back to this recording. And if you did listen to it, we're just going to take up right from where we were and talk about the iceberg model for change. So you'll find if you downloaded the whole thing, you'll see the iceberg model that you can fill in. And it's important that you fill it in just like you did the other one. And we'll take it from there. So, Sylvia, why don't you take over and tell us about this iceberg model?
Wonderful. As you all know, the iceberg has just its tiny top over the surface of the water, but its main big chunk of ice is under the water. And I love the iceberg because it's a beautiful metaphor about the relationship between our conscious mind and our subconscious mind. So the tip of the iceberg symbolizes our conscious mind, and what is under the water surface symbolizes the subconscious mind. And don't be overwhelmed with all these blank little boxes. They have numbers, and I will guide you through them, and then it will make sense to you. So as a change strategist, we start normally with the top of the iceberg. And there you have 5 boxes, and they have these numbers in this little 6-corner shapes. And we start with number 1. Number 1, the first thing always when you start a change project, a change desire, a dream, is you have to set yourself goals. We talked about that in the first hour of the interview. So number 1 is goals. And I always put that in the top right corner because symbolically when people talk about visions and goals in our culture, somehow it's interesting. We have a spatial feeling where goals and visions are, so it's always the top right corner because it's uplifting. It's where our eyes go immediately. So put down your goals. Number 2, the second piece, it goes now to the left. Number 2 is the cooking recipe to get there. It's a plan. You need plans to reach your goals. Number 3, we talked about that consciousnessly. When you have a plan, you need measurements. Measurements is the word which comes in the box number 3 in order to measure your progress. Are you heading in the right direction? Are you moving towards your goals or away from them? Number 4 is the combination of having a plan and measurements is creating a strategy. It's setting rules, structures, knowing what to do and when and how to adjust to obstacles or problems. You need strategies, and they come into number 4. And then back to the side, right side under the goals, number 5, and I have them both so close together because what really makes you reaching your goals are the actions you take. So these 5 boxes, these are the very known, common, conscious things people work on when they work with a business coach, a career coach, a life coach. These are all the conscious things we have very easily access to.
Sylvie, would you just hit them again, those first 5, make sure everybody got them. 1 is goals, 2 is plans.
Plans. Measurements is number 3. Mm-hmm. 4 is strategies. And 5 is actions.
Okay. So these are the same as what we talked about before.
Yes.
Okay, got
all
it.
In the first section around what it means to be an executive change strategist in your own life.
And these are all the conscious part. This is stuff you
yes.
can think about consciously and plan.
Yes, there are great books out there, you know, all these how-to books, how to be XYZ, how to become XYZ. There are great books out there to help you, how to write a plan, how to write down goals, how to set strategies in place. Great resources out
okay.
there.
So hold
but
on.
But this is again what we said also in our interview first. What we know is most of the time not the problem. What we don't know that we don't know is the problem very often and blocks us from reaching our goals. And this is all the stuff under the surface. This is all the stuff in our subconscious mind. So all these boxes with the numbers 1 to 10, we are running through now. And we start at the very, very deep, low sea of the water, which is number 1. And these are the basic identity beliefs. I repeat that. Number 1, on the very low bottom of the bottom of the iceberg, low deep down in the ocean, basic identity beliefs. These are very early beliefs we as babies acquire in our subconscious mind even before we were able to put them into words. I know this sounds like counterintuitive because these beliefs are made in words. This could be something like, I'm not lovable. I'm wrong here. There's something wrong with me.
I'm unwanted.
I'm unwanted. All these very painful, hurting beliefs, which normally start with the word I, they are short, and we learn them very, very early on. And sometimes we learn them on a time where we don't have already words, but they are ingrained through emotions, and we give these words later to them. And they are running at the lowest bottom in our system of beliefs in our subconscious mind.
Okay.
Very close to them and linked to them as like a second layer, emotionally linked, is number 2, which is the sense of self-worth. I repeat, the sense of self-worth. Depending what your basic identity belief is, for example, if you have the belief, which would be great, I'm lovable or I'm loved, I'm wanted, wonderful. Your sense of self-worth will be more positive, will be higher. But if you have very negative under number 1 basic identity beliefs, your sense of self-worth is very low.
Uh-huh.
And imagine, choose any topic in your life, any goal you would like to reach, we would like to change. If you have problems in the areas of number 1 or 2, it's like a constant battle, a constant fight against yourself. Because deep down, you believe you are not deserving to reach your goal. You are not wanted to reach your goal.
Uh-huh.
On top of that, there's number 3, a big box, because I combine here 2 very, very common fears. Fears of failure, but also fears of success.
Uh-huh.
I know, again, this is for some people maybe counterintuitive, because people believe, yes, no one wants to make mistakes, no one wants to fail, but success can be as scary as failing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because success means something has to change, maybe your life has to change, maybe your friends become envious and they will leave you, or whatever your specific fears around that are. If you don't face your fears of failure and fears of success, every change management project in your life will be a nightmare and a big, big struggle.
And so that, just to speak to that success, the fear of success, often clients will say, they're afraid of the expectations that it raises for others, that they'll
yes.
become a target, that people will expect more, that they are afraid they'll be shown to be a fraud, that they really aren't that good if they succeed. So I find that often the fear of success is greater than fear of failure, because they've already failed. They know how that feels. They know how to deal with that.
Yes.
They know who to blame. But success for a lot of people is an unknown. Or they'll say, the last time or the first time I was successful, here's what happened. My husband or wife
yes.
left me, or I got sued by somebody or whatever, and so they don't want to do that again.
Yeah, and very often fears of failure, they are partially also very conscious about that. But fears of success, because it's so counterintuitive, most people have a huge blind spot around that.
Uh-huh.
And especially women. For women, what we later will talk about is also the need for belonging. A lot of women fear when they are really successful, they will lose their social systems. Like their husband can't cope with a successful woman, or their girlfriend will envy them, or their neighbors can't stand their new wealth, or whatever it is. So for most women, there's a huge fear of losing their social system when they are really successful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very big blind spot. Okay, let's move to number 4, which personally for me is a big, big block. Loyalty to parents. I repeat, loyalty to parents. Whatever you consciously think about your parents or what you believe your relationship with them is, deep down, you love them and you want to be loyal to them. We all have a huge commitment to be loyal to our parents. So sometimes when we now in our life try to make different choices than our parents and live a different life than they do, our subconscious mind is resisting that because we believe we have to live the same life like our parents in order to show, to express our loyalty to them.
Mm-hmm.
I had this very weird situation around 13 years ago. I was in business for around 2 to 3 years, and I started to accumulate some business debts. And one day I was invited for dinner in my parents' house, and we were chatting, and they would ask me, hey, how is your new business going, and la, la, la. And I shared how much debts I had, and then they looked at me with shocked eyes, and then they shared at that time how much debts they had on their house. And guess what? Both were six figures numbers, and only the last two digits were different. All the other numbers were exactly the same.
Mm, wow.
That was for me like a hint. Wow, what's going on here? Why do I create subconsciously exactly the same amount of debts like my parents?
Uh-huh.
That gave me the whole, like that was the door opening up for me to analyze what in my life is the way it is because of loyalty to my parents. Fascinating topic.
Yeah.
The next number, five, please fill in protection patterns. I repeat, protection patterns. Part of our brain, I call it the ego, is committed to protect us against pain, against shame, embarrassment, like protect us against emotions which are unpleasant or painful. And sometimes the patterns we establish to protect us can block our success. For example, keeping us small is a very safe procedure. It keeps us safe.
Uh-huh.
Always staying in your comfort zone keeps you safe and protects you, but you can't reach your goals when you're always stuck, getting stuck in your comfort zone you are in right now.
Right.
So you have to face your protection patterns if you really want to live big and dream big and reach your goals. Number six, to the right again, I already touched that, is the need for belonging. I repeat, the need for belonging. It can be your parents, your family, it can be neighbors, but it can be also a certain group. For example, you want maybe to change your careers. Maybe in the past you were a teacher, and now you want to become, I don't know, a gardener. But your teaching peers, the other teachers, were such a close circle of friends, and you fear now when you change your careers that you will lose